We're starting a series of lessons on Jesus. Really, you couldn't have a better subject. As Paul wrote the church at Corinth, church that he had planted or helped to plant, and he'd been there about a year and a half, and he told them that they were having various difficulties. He said, "No, when I was there, I preached Christ and Him crucified. I preached Christ and Him crucified." And it seems as I go through the book of Acts and also into the epistles, the letters that follow the book of Acts that are written by various inspired men, they focus their lessons on Christ. They teach other subjects, and they attack other problems that we have from time to time. But the focal point of their teaching was Christ, Him crucified, and also the resurrection. This morning we're looking at Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Statement made there by Matthew that is a quote from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Where Matthew says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Matthew had earlier said in the first chapter, verse 21, that the angel had told Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary, that the child's name would be Jesus, for he would be the one to save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. And this reference to Jesus in the 23rd verse, Emmanuel, God with us, is probably not it's not a name by which Jesus would be called. But as Unger Bible Dictionary has said, that this name given to Christ, this reference to Christ, is to the personal union of the human nature and the divine. Now, a lot of times when I get into subjects like that, it gets into a subject that's sometimes a little bit difficult to grab a hold of. I grew up in the country. Most of y'all grew up in this area. I had a little college here and there, but that was a concept, and still is a concept, I think, for many people, that's difficult to grab hold of. Emmanuel, God with us. Back in the first century, God came to this earth, was born of Mary, a virgin. He grew up, He dwelt among us. And God had never done that before. Oh, He'd been in the Eden, in the Garden of Eden, walking with Adam and Eve in the garden, but not in human form. Not in human form. Of course, you could easily say at that time that, you know, I can't be like you, God, because you haven't experienced the things that I've experienced. You're God. And a lot of times I think that's the only way we look at Jesus. Jesus, you're the Son of God. Yes. But He was also man. And that's the concept, I think. I think that's when it gets difficult for us to grab a hold of it. I know I was discussing with someone. I don't know if it was someone here in a Bible class, but it seemed like it was another congregation, where I was talking about that Jesus was tempted. That when He was in the wilderness, according to Matthew chapter 4, that the things that Satan tempted Him with were actual temptations. He could have chosen to sin. And I got chastised by someone because they didn't like that subject. That their picture of Jesus was the Son of God. He did. He knew no sin. Neither was guile found in His mouth. But the book of Hebrews chapter 4 says He was tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin. So He was tempted in all things like as we are. So, and I'm getting away from my outline, so no telling where I'm headed. But when we go to God in prayer, We have a tag at the end. Is that just a tag? In Christ's name, amen. It's time to eat, time to get on to something else or whatever. But no, it's by the authority of that name. And we can go through Christ because He lived on this earth as a man. He was tempted in the things that we're tempted in. And He did not sin. So when we talk to God, we have access through Christ. And He knows what we're going through. He is our mediator. He is our advocate. He's our go-between. As we talk to God in prayer, so the Holy Spirit is involved too. Jesus is involved there, and the fact that He was Emmanuel, God with us, in addition to being Savior. And there are other terms that are used throughout the Bible. Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh. The last two lessons we've looked at had to do with the Old Testament, number one, and how the Old Testament serves to introduce us to Jesus. Jesus did not just come on the scene, as the book of Matthew records, and they never ever heard of Him before. They had no idea who this was. There was no warning as to the fact that He would come, and they didn't know when He would come. Some still think that He didn't come. But He was a good man, but He was not the promised one. The Bible, though, begins in the New Testament with also introducing us to Jesus, as Matthew introduces us. Matthew starts with the genealogy. And he says this is a seed of Abraham or descendant of Abraham, that he's a descendant of David. The Jews expected a descendant of David. David being a king, David was on the throne. They expected Jesus to come and be on the same type throne that David was on, because David was an ancestor of his. And that's what they looked for. They looked for something that would get them out from under the Roman rule there in the first century. And they weren't looking for someone who would save them from sin. They were looking for someone who would save them from Rome. And so they had an earthly concept of the king and of Jesus. So Matthew particularly speaks to the Jews, particularly speaks to them about the concept of the kingdom. It was not a kingdom to be upon earth. The kingdom is the church, as we would learn from studying the gospel accounts going on into the book of Acts. And then we see the actions of that church is the way they live their lives after that through the words of the various letters, the epistles. But Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus was on earth in Matthew 5, verse 39, He said, "You search the scriptures, and in them you think you have life, and they are they which testify of me." He says, and they only had the Old Testament scriptures at that time. So they had the Old Testament scriptures, and He said, you run across prophecies there, and you wonder what they relate to. They relate to me. They relate to me. In fact, in Luke 24:44, after He was resurrected, prior to His ascension, Jesus said, if you look at the law of Moses, and you look at the prophets, and you look at the Psalms, all Old Testament scripture, He said, you'll see that they spoke concerning me. He opened their minds to that possibility, to that fact. Now, as we looked at the Old Testament introducing us to Jesus, we saw that Moses, in writing the first five books, spoke first in a veiled sense, I guess you'd say, in Genesis 3:15. He spoke of one who would be born of the seed of woman who would be fighting against Satan. And this was shortly after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and just prior to them being sent out of the garden. And then later in Genesis chapter 12, there was a man by the name of Abraham that God said to go out into the various places that he really didn't. He would be given later instruction, didn't know where he went, had great cattle and a lot of flocks that he had to go. They had to go with him and a great number of people. He said, "Through your seed, Through your descendants, the nation of the earth would be blessed. We come to Genesis, or come to Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 3, we find that the writer there tells us that that was speaking of Christ. And we can't read Genesis 12 and Genesis 22 when the promise is made to Abraham and come to that conclusion. But by putting those scriptures together with what the New Testament says, the New Testament says that that Christ was the answer to the problem of sin that man has, and that he was of the seed of Abraham. He was a descendant. He was also be of the tribe of Judah. In the book of Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, the writer says that the scepter would not depart from Judah. We go to Hebrews chapter 7, and we see that Jesus was born of that particular tribe. So it ties in. The Bible is not a once upon a time type situation. The Bible is not a myth, as some would believe. We cannot go through the Bible cafeteria style and leave out, say, the creation story. You leave it out. You leave out lots. In fact, we're leaving God out, because we're choosing to believe what we want to believe rather than what God has said. That will get us in trouble. The prophets introduce us to Jesus, and the long ago the prophet Isaiah 9, said that there would be one who would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty Father, the Mighty Father God, rather the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And in Isaiah 53, that most of us are familiar with, Isaiah speaks of a suffering servant. He speaks of a lamb that's despised and rejected, one who would bear the sins or the transgressions of all the people. And we come to Acts chapter 8 in the New Testament as Philip begins to teach the eunuch that is in a chariot on his way back to Ethiopia. And Philip tells him that that's talking about Jesus, that that suffering lamb that was promised, that was prophesied, was talking about Jesus. The Psalms also instruct us and point the way to Jesus. And Psalm 41 verse 9 says that he would be betrayed by a friend. It speaks of one who would be betrayed by a friend. In Psalm 22:1, we have the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Same words that Jesus uttered upon the cross. Matthew introduces to Jesus, as we mentioned, as the son of David, son of Abraham, and then of the son of Mary, born of a virgin. And Matthew speaks of Jesus as being the Son of God. He speaks of Jesus as being the Savior. And he speaks of Jesus as being Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So that's the thing I want us to think about this morning. God with us. we'll look at next week at the significance of that, because there's a lot of significance to that. Jesus living upon this earth. God being with us. But this morning we want to look at the scriptures and see the reality of it. Get some facts together as kind of background for additional study. And as you begin a study of Emmanuel, God with us, how do you begin? How do you begin? If I stop on anywhere near the time I'm supposed to stop, I got about 18 minutes, okay? How can such a subject be covered? Well, we'll just cover a portion of it. We'll study some more of it next week and see where we go from there. But near the close of the book of John, next to the last chapter, verses 30 and 31. John had written a fairly long letter, and after writing and telling of a number of the miracles that Jesus did, a number of the events in his life, the events in that last week while he was here upon earth, and his relationship with his apostles, his concern for them after he would be gone. We find that he's crucified, then he's raised from the dead. And John says that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But he said these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. So we need to have an abiding faith, a deep faith in Jesus as God's Son. And when we picture Jesus as God's Son, we must also picture Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. As we look at Matthew's writings, and we've looked at them to some extent before, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, we recall that the writer there says the birth of Jesus was on this wise. In other words, it was in this manner. And then he proceeds to tell about God's Son being born to Mary, and that he was espoused, she was a virgin, and she was espoused to Joseph. He was born of the Holy Spirit, God with us. He was born to dwell among us, Emmanuel, God with us. An angel explains to Joseph that Mary's child is of the Holy Spirit, and not to put her away, because she's expecting a child before they're married. Joseph knows it's not his child. The angel explains, don't put her away. This child is of God. I don't know how much Joseph grabbed hold of that belief initially, but he did. He did believe that. And again in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, as God speaks concerning His Son, there was a voice from heaven after Jesus' baptism. And the voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then later on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John there with Jesus, and Jesus is transfigured there, and Moses and Elijah appears, and Peter, ever wanting to do something, says, let's build three tabernacles, one for each of you. You're seemingly saying, you know, you are of equal rank, or you're to be honored equally. And a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. Shortly thereafter, Moses and Elijah were no longer there. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. So even the apostles had to be pointed out to them that they needed to listen to Jesus. That they were to now hear Jesus. Moses was for his period of time. He gave us the law, but that's in the past. The Hebrews writer says that in these days, God has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 1. As John begins his writing, he approaches it a little bit different from Matthew, Luke, and Mark. Matthew and Luke approach the gospel account of Jesus from the very beginning, from his genealogy, from, you know, given his ancestors, and then his birth. Whereas John takes it up a little bit later, but he's going to talk about a number of miracles and teachings and other things in the life of Christ. But here, John tries to tie this concept of Emmanuel, God with us, without using those exact words. So let's read from chapter 1 of John. This is what John says. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. At this point, we don't know what that means. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, we know a little bit more about it. We know we're talking about God, whoever that word is referring to. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. He was a creator. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. John was a voice of one crying in the wilderness, the Bible says. He was one who was to prepare the way for Christ. The same, that is, John, came for a witness to bear witness of the light, Now, who is that like? That all men through him might believe. Oh, we got a better inkling of it as far as what John says. He was not that light talking about John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. Oh, we're talking about a he. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So here's one that's in the world, but he was back there in the beginning in the creation. And at the time he did come into the world rejected him. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, so to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. So we're getting better information from John. We know who he's talking about, but we, as far as proof from this first chapter, we're getting there. Which was born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now we know who he's talking about. Dwelt among us, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. John 3:16 says that God gave his only begotten Son. So we're talking about Jesus. And he dwelt among us. So that's Emmanuel, God with us, isn't it? It's the same thing as Matthew said, except using different words to give us a little bit different slant and to help us with our faith. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we now have his name. Now we know for sure. The Word that was in the beginning, that was with God, that was God, and that came and dwelt among us, we're talking about Jesus Christ. So we're talking about Emmanuel, God with us. Another writing of John, look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, this is toward the back. This is one of those books of the Bible that kind of hides from you behind 2 Peter. A little more difficult to find, so that's why I use this here, strength. And it tells me where the book of 1 John is. Now, we can really tell that this was written by John, even if it didn't have somebody put his name up there. That which was from the beginning, sounds familiar, doesn't it? Which we have, now he's going to give some additional information. Which we have heard, this is coming from an apostle. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the, there's that word, Word again, with a capital letter. The Word of life, for the life was manifested, we've seen it. Bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. So that's who we're talking about. That ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now if this man, if John was telling us these things, and he had witnessed a crime, or he had witnessed an accident in which we were part of, we'd like to have this man in court with us, wouldn't we? We'd like to have this man, he was an eyewitness. So when he gave testimony, not only has he been inspired by the Holy Spirit here, has he been inspired to say those things that will give proof that he was there, that Jesus wasn't just a puff of smoke, just another man. He was there, he saw, he heard, all those senses, even hands handled, touched. Remember, Thomas was told, you know, touch. So here we're led to believe that John came in contact with Jesus after he was resurrected. It was really him. Look at Paul's writings. Look at Philippians chapter 2. As we think about the subject, Emmanuel, God with us, the reality. What does the Bible say about God being with us? About Jesus Christ, the Son of God, living upon this earth and dwelling among us. We want to learn, we want to see that that is something that the Bible teaches. Chapter 2, Philippians, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we're told to have a mind transplant, as I mentioned in our adult class earlier. We're told to have a mind transplant. Told that our minds be transformed, be changed, and be like Christ. A mind transplant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what about Christ Jesus? Well, being in the form of God, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. He, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was no less God because he was God the Son. And that's another confusing thing we sometimes face. God the Son, Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they were all there in the beginning of creation. So he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. In other words, it didn't enhance his image a whole lot when he came down here and lived among us. It was necessary for God's plan. It was necessary for our salvation. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. He was a man. He was a man. He was God. But he also was a man. He dwelt among us. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. How? He became obedient. He was obedient to God. He did that which pleased God. He prayed from the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, I like this that's to follow my death. I like it. I would like for that to be removed. I don't want to go through that, in essence. He's saying as a man, nevertheless, still as a man. Not as I will, but as thou will. He did what he did to please God. He obeyed the Father. He obeyed. He was obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Emmanuel, God with us. So Paul and John used a little bit different terminology from Matthew, but as we go to John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, and Philippians 2, we see that basically they're just giving us additional information, approaching it from a different angle and saying the same thing. Emmanuel, God with us. So there was, back in the first century, Jesus. Jesus, a prophet like unto Moses, Moses said in Deuteronomy 18. But more than a prophet, he was a king. But more than a king, he was the Savior, Jesus. But more than a Savior, he was God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He did something that God had never done before. He came and he dwelt among us as men. He humbled himself. Though he was God, he became a servant. He lived on this earth. Dwelt among men. Emmanuel, God with us. The angel's words to Joseph in Matthew 1 were, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was not just a man then. God's own voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He's in the form of man. He took upon himself human form, but he's still God's Son, God said. And you're supposed to listen to him now. Not Moses, not Elijah. Of course, we still have the Old Testament as background for the New Testament. to help us in our understanding of how God deals with His people over the years. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word was Christ. The one that was in the beginning, that created, that was there in the creation of everything, came and lived on this earth as a man. And we'll study more about this subject next week. I had a statement from a book written by Max Lucado. He said, you know, if our greatest need was a need for information alone, God would send us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would send us a scientist. Today He might have sent us a computer specialist. If our greatest need had been for money, then God would have sent us an economist or a financial guru, we might say today. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. Which I would add to that one of the needs that we have was knowing that someone understands, that someone cares, that someone has been there. You know how when you go to visit someone sick? I know a couple of years ago I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. I'd seen people before that were in the hospital for 2 weeks. I'd gone to see them and visit them, but I didn't really understand what they were going through. Because I hadn't been there. You see, Jesus knows what we're going through because He's been there. He's been here on this earth. And we're going into the significance of that more so next week. If you're here this morning, not a Christian, why I come to Christ today, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins. Perhaps you've been taught on your own, or someone else you've talked with about Christ. And you know that without Him and the salvation that He affords, that we are lost, that we are in our sins, that we're without hope. As a Christian, if you desire prayers this morning, or if you wish to rededicate your life to Christ, you have that opportunity. As we stand and sing the selected song, shall we stand, please?